Blog Talk Radio.
Hello to all, and to all a big hello. Welcome to
hello.
I'm Just Saying. Hold on, wait a minute. I'm Carla G, and as we have happily come to expect, the one and only Dr. Tahuti. Hello, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, people. Peace.
Okay. We also have Rich Byers. Hey, welcome back, Rich.
Hi. Glad to be here.
Great. Fantastic. Dr. Tahuti, you were not on the show that I did back in March of this year, but our guest was, and I had asked him to come back then, and indeed he is. I'm talking about Mr. J. Duval. Hello, Mr. Duval.
Hello, Carla.
Mr. Duval has written a book, folks, and it's called The Good Man's Survival Guide, How to Identify and Avoid a No-Good Skeezer. Mm-hmm. So, yes, welcome back, Mr. Duval.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. And now, before I go any further with all the other business that we're going to talk about, or actually the other business that I want to tell you, is that you can give us a call here at 646-716-4732. The chat room is open. And I'm thinking there may be some folks that will call in if they happen to tune in. Duh, that's pretty obvious. I say it that way because our show usually airs on Sundays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, but we'd had to do a quick change up. So I'm hoping that I got the notices out early enough for our regular listeners. I'm not so sure that happened, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we've got a good load of people here right now on the lines, and we can get this thing going. So to start things off, Mr. Duval, you know, just in case there's some folks that are not aware of the podcast, in seconds or less, would you please tell us what your book, A Good Man's Survival Guide, How to Identify and Avoid a No-Good Skeezer, what that's all about, please?
Okay, I can make it very brief. The book is all about avoiding and identifying no-good woman that exists in the society that we have, simply because for some strange reason, most guys are made to believe, especially when they're young, that all good women are nice, considerate, and they need to be protected from all of these no-good guys out there. And I find that the ones that are affected the most are the average 9-to-5 working guys out here, because they are the ones that have been programmed to think a certain way, and they are the ones, percentage-wise, that in the end have the most to lose.
Okay. And so the book is to help them out and not lose.
Right. I mean, in most cases, their lives are totally destroyed based upon how they have been socialized and conditioned to think about all women. And I'm here to say not all women are considerate of you, not all women like you, and not all women are good for you. And you have to differentiate between the good women and the no good women.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And your book does that.
My book lists about 13 personalities that are documented. There are others, but I haven't listed them yet.
You haven't listed the others.
That's
right.
The sequel?
Excuse What's me? That?
The others are the sequel? Well, the others I just couldn't mention. Ultimately, they may come out in my second book, which is sort of related.
What's it going to be called?
My second book is called Good Man's Survival Guide, subtitle Rules of Engagement.
Ah.
And this is basically to enlighten men on the fact that the rules of tradition has changed by the female due to feminism, equal rights, and things like that. But unfortunately, most males are still functioning under those old traditional rules that most females have gotten rid of. Thusly, they suffer because the females function in a manner that benefits them first, not him.
Mm. Now, all right, we're going to have to recap a little bit of the prior show, and oh, wow, you know what? I think I forgot to expand this to an hour, and that's unfortunate. I'm not sure. We'll find out. We'll find out what's happening. But we have to recap a little bit. And you just said you have 13 personality types. You've mentioned some of them in the book. Can you do that in a list? You know, the personality type. And I also want to recap, because I know I asked you this before. How is it that you know that it's most men and women? How do you know this? Are you a scientist who's done a study? How long was the study? How do you know it's most?
Okay, well,
but that's part B. Part A is give us the personality types.
Okay, I'm trying to acquire those right now. They are basically, I've identified 13 personalities of females that I consider skeezers, and I'll just go over them briefly. The first one I call the pigeon. She's the type of female that simply lives to have guys take her out to eat, and she expects them to pay for it regardless of whatever happens, how much money she makes. The second personality is what I call the drama queen. And my description of her is, if you want nothing else in life but arguments and stress, this is the one for you, because the only piece you will get from her is a good piece of ass. Hope I can say that.
Well,
it's out there now.
Anyways.
The third one is Miss Beg-a-Lot. She's the one that's usually financially overextended due to her own immature financial behavior, and she usually expects you to help her pay her bills, and sometimes she will promise to break you off a little piece in the process of doing so. The other one, Miss Independent. She's the one that plays the independent game well. She has the job, the car, the apartment, all of these things, and she claims she doesn't need a man's money. But the moment you develop some interest in her and start dating her, she expects you to pay. Miss Holy Roller. She's the one that's waiting on the Lord to send her that mail. But all you have to do is dress up with the nice suits, go to church, let her be seen by her peers, and she'll be the biggest freak that you've ever had, because it's all sexually suppressed. The other one, Miss Holy Roller, Holy Hustler, she's the one that uses religion as a game to hustle money from men, and she also uses religion to keep them at a safe, non-sexual but manipulative distance. Miss Package Deal, this is the one that was fine and cute, would not give the average guy the time of the day when she didn't have these children. Now all of a sudden she's got knocked up with a couple of kids. She's got some years and maybe a couple of extra pounds on her. All of a sudden those guys that she denied look very good to her, because the others don't want her anymore. Gold Digger. She's simply a closet prostitute with the idea that if you want to spend time with her, you have to bear the finances or compensate her in order to do so. And now with the internet, now she's gone totally national, and now she's a cyber hoe. Party girl.
Wow.
She lives in the world of fantasy, fun, and recreation.
I'm sorry, which one was it? What was her name? What's that one called?
This one is Miss Party Girl.
Party Girl, okay.
She lives in the world of fantasy, fun, and recreation. Typically, she's that young cutie looking for that man that will allow her to continue and live that irresponsible, childish lifestyle. But unfortunately, what she doesn't realize is that receiving all the attention and time, she will eventually go from that young, firm cutie to that old, loose booty call that no one will commit to.
Okay.
And finally, Miss In Denial. This is the classic woman that's in denial about the relationship that she has had with this guy for 5, 10, maybe 15 years, waiting on the sideline to marry her. Ultimately, he gets tired of her, breaks up with her, and possibly marries the first woman he meets within a year. So she ultimately runs around as a cougar dating younger guys, claiming that she doesn't want a relationship.
Okay, you know what, I'm sorry. Repeat that one again for me. I kind of was looking over the list, and I didn't quite pay attention. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, Miss Indianow is, again, the woman that's with this man for all these years, waiting for him to marry her.
Okay.
Of course, he won't marry her. She's looking for the ex because of the sex and the money, and it was just too good to let go of, and she only wants him.
Okay. All right. So that was actually about 10 of them, and that was a list. That's sort of a recap of what we had mentioned before. Now, the reason why you're back, and thank you for that. Now, the reason why you're back now is because also in your book, Good Man Survival Guide, How to Identify and Avoid the No-Good Skeezer, you have a section in there or a theory that you've devised, and you call it the deer hunting season, and deer being spelled D-E-A-R, as if it's, you know, your loved one.
Right.
And that starts on Halloween. And so you're here to entertain us, really, and help us understand how this deer hunting and these women go hand in hand, and start with that, and then we're going to pull in our guests, and we're going to have
okay.
a nice conversation.
Okay, deer hunting season, this is based on what I've observed over the years. Deer hunting season is...
Oh, you know what? I'm so sorry to interject, but you did, you gave us a list there, and then I did have part B of that question, which was, how have you determined that it's most men and most women who fall into these categories?
Okay, it's most, well, first of all, it's most men and most women by virtue of the percentages of divorces and dysfunctional relationships that exist. Statistically, I don't have it, but it's at least 50 to 60% of the people ultimately end up in divorce, not to say the many relationships that go in and out. And then when I also say most, because I've polled a lot of guys before completing this book, and most of those guys were in those types of relationships, and they admitted that they did as much as they can, but the woman just ultimately bailed out on them.
Okay. All right. So go ahead now. This deer hunting season is what? And then give us maybe about 45 description of that,
okay,
if you will.
Deer hunting season, that's between October 31st, which is Halloween, through February 14th. This is the period of time when women allow men into their lives so they can receive the gifts and attention during that season. This is when what I call they're very emotionally fertile, okay, and vulnerable
uh-huh.
to being with a guy. This is basically the only time that a guy, if he's looking to hook up with a woman, should
mm-hmm.
engage in interacting with them.
Okay. Well, now, why are you putting it on the women? Your book is for men, but you're putting it on women. I mean, in this deer hunting season, then, as we start this conversation, mm-hmm. you say women allow men into their lives. So, and this is the time when the women seem most prone to relationships. Well, then wouldn't the men be just as prone and just as desiring?
Men
at
are
this time?
Always prone to relationships or getting with women. This is the most beneficial time for the woman materialistically as well as her ego being stroked. At any point in time, the majority of women can approach a man, initiate contact, and have a good conversation and a good potential for relationship. Women, in general, do not initiate, they do not approach, but they will allow the man to come in more easily during this time.
Well, and you had mentioned this word before, socialization. I mean, you've done all these studies, or you at least have the statistics, so you have not noticed the statistics that say that the men usually approach the women?
No, men usually approach the women, but what I'm saying is there are a lot of women...
Isn't that natural behavior?
No, that's socialized behavior, and I'll tell you why. There are a lot of women, groupies or whatever you want to call them, or women that know of men that are financially well off, will not only approach them, but they will plan their approach to these men. They'll make themselves available in many ways and be direct in order to get those benefits that those men have. But remember, I'm talking in the context of the average guy, not the ballers, the players, or the wannabes, the average Joes, which happens to be the majority of the males that exist out here.
Okay. All right. Well, at this point, again, let me just mention that we're talking with Mr. Jay Duval. You're listening to I'm Just Saying. I'm Carla G. We have a lot of folks on the show. As I said, the guest is Jay Duvall, who's written a book, The Good Man Survival Guide, How to Identify and Avoid a No-Good Skeezer. We have Dr. Tahuti with us. We have Rich Byers with us. And we also have a young lady on the line, Carol. And if any of you have any comments, please feel free to offer them to to Mr. Duvall. You know, you can certainly support his ideas. I hear some chuckling there. Who's chuckling?
It's me, Carol.
Go ahead, Carol. You have a comment for him?
Yes, I do. Hi, Mr. Duvall. I am so honored to meet you. I did read many excerpts from the book, and I look forward to actually reading the book in its entirety. Now, with that said, I wanted to touch on deer hunting season, and just to let you know that you're absolutely right. In fact, I am actually currently experiencing guys, as you said, making the initial attempt to contact me, even guys from the past 2-3 years ago, contacting me now during this time. And you're right, it starts in October and it goes through February. I also agree that men do make the first attempt for contact more so than women, and you're absolutely right with that. However, I see Carla's point, which is, if you're writing a book for men, why does so much of the weight fall on women?
Well, it's simple, because women ultimately make the last decision as to let men in or not. And remember, the book itself speak of good and no good women, but in particular the ones that are no good, because the good women have no problem being considerate, caring, and loving to a decent guy. So I'm telling men, avoid these other types and develop a relationship with the woman that will feel the same way with you, as you know, the feelings are mutual, in other words.
Yeah, well, you know what, I mean, I think that there are some good things to agree with. I think that we can probably all agree with some of the points that you make in your book, which I have read. But, again, where it becomes a question is, you're writing it from your perspective. And, for example, I mean, you've run off a list of descriptions of women, and it seems like not all women fall into some sort of a negative category. So when or how are men supposed to approach a woman? And, I know one of your chapters says something about you know you don't want the man to pay for the date, and I think we're all so many people are in agreement that the person who does the asking is the one who should pay for the date or the outing, and you disagree with that.
Let me say this. Well, first of all, I've sort of modified about the man not paying for the date. I'll address that first, okay?
Uh-huh.
Because I had to do a rewrite of the book.
Did you have to do a rewrite of the book?
Because I didn't particularly like
it. You found out some of your information was incorrect?
No, I didn't like some of the things that the publisher kind of coerced me into putting into the book. And I've made it a shorter book, and I didn't like the price, which I thought was too high for the book.
Time out. Let's digress for a second. Was the publisher male or female?
Female.
Ah, so did you succumb to something that it was this book
skeezer
for you? Should you read your own advice? What
the
happened?
The publisher was a no good skeezer.
No,
that's
a good point. No, the publisher. I took the fact that she was an experienced publisher. This was my first book, so in doing so, I basically just followed her lead on what should be in and what should not be in. Speaking with a lot of people and having interviews, I realized that there were some things in the book that should not have been.
So in theory, she would match your last category, the Ms. Independent. She is a publisher. She's Ms. Independent. She's sort of a cougar now. She knows what she's doing. She told you how to get the book out there. Hey, look, whatever she did, it must you're on the radio talking about it, so, you know.
Well,
maybe
it's
okay if the woman is independent and is a cougar.
No,
how about
I don't
that?
Have
maybe
a problem with
either.
That. As a matter of fact, a woman can be independent. As a matter of fact, she can be independent. She can be high maintenance as long as she maintains it. I don't have a problem with that. I love independent women if they're considerate of the man.
Okay, and considerate would be paying for everything. I mean, is that the theme? Is it mostly based on payment, money?
Well,
is that the issue?
Of course, and of course it is. And as I say, anytime a woman asks why is money the issue, it's primarily his money that's the issue. If she would spend her money and pay her own way, money would never be an issue. And I never
Go ahead.
And I never ask a man to ask a woman to pay his way. Remember that.
You never ask a man to...
Yeah, like women want a man to pay their way. I tell a man, no, you pay your own way, and you get to know her from a foundation of genuine concern and not money. Money corrupts.
Well, you... Yes. Money corrupts? I'm sorry. It broke up.
Money will corrupt the sanctity of a relationship if that's how it starts off.
Okay. Folks, you are listening to I'm Just Saying. The call-in number is 646-716-4732. We have Mr. Jay Duvall on the line who has written the book, A Good Man's Survival Guide, How to Identify and Avoid a No-Good Skeezer. And we're going to or trying to be talking about wait a minute, that was bad English. We're going to be talking about we're talking about another aspect of his book, The Deer Hunting Season, which more or less boils down to dating. This time of year, starting in Halloween, there's some dating going on, some heavier dating than usual. You know, Dr. Tahuti, we've had one comment from Rich Byers. We had a comment from Dr. Tahuti. Have you got anything to offer at this point?
Well, I would just, at this point, thank Brother for his book. I haven't read it, but I'm interested in doing so. I'm happy that we're having a discussion about black men and black women loving one another. I think it's a topic that's not dealt with often enough, and I'm just fascinated to be a part of the discussion.
Mm-hmm. Now, so you said a key word there, loving one another. And I would say, though, that the tone of your book, Mr. Duvall, seems to generate more anger amongst its readers than love.
I'm glad
you know,
said
what
that.
Say you about that?
Because I'm glad you said that because I mentioned that in my book, and I said specifically, anytime a male speaks of the no good treatment or no good females out there, he's interpreted as bitter, angry, and he has problems. But anytime a female talks about the no good doggish men out there, she's supported. Everybody, the majority of people agrees with her, and she's not looked upon as bitter. She's looked upon as a victim. I call that double standards.
Carla, can
yes,
I interject
yes.
right here, please?
Please.
Hi, Mr. Duvall. Hey.
Yes.
Hi, Mr. Duvall. I wanted to speak to that matter. I actually did read that part, and my first inclination was, okay, I see your point, because that's just the type of woman that I am. But then I pondered on it for an additional couple minutes,
mm-hmm.
and then I thought, well, what about the women who are considered male bashers and a few other words that I choose not to share on the air? When they do air out their dirty laundry about relationships that didn't go so well with men who were not upstanding, such as yourself?
Well, first of all, I don't have a problem with anybody, male or female, speaking the truth about another individual. And if you look on the back of my book, I also speak about taking responsibility for one's choices. And on the back of the book, I have a three-step plan in reference to me personally and men in general. And it basically says something like the first step is you have to accept the fact that you partake in the problem. The second one is you have to analyze what was it that you allowed to happen in the relationship. And the third part is to take whatever preventive measures necessary to not repeat yourself again.
Put that back and come get them.
Okay.
Hey, Dr. Tahuti, we do hear you. We do hear you, Dr. Tahuti. So you may want to cover on a little bit more.
Let me also say about the male bashing. What generally happens between males and females choosing is the male chooses based upon sight, okay? He accepts her in, then he gets to know her and knows what type of quality or non-quality woman she is. On the other hand, the female chooses a guy on sight, but then he has to prove his worthiness. He has to do extra beyond just sight in order for her, in most cases, to accept him. What I'm telling the males is, sure, you can initiate based upon sight, but don't choose this person as a mate until she's proven her worthiness to you. It goes both ways.
It sounds like you might have just, not necessarily contradicted yourself, but, yeah, a little bit.
How
so? You said a male chooses based on sight, and then he gets to know her,
right.
Something to that effect. But then you just finished by saying, don't just base it on what you saw. So at what point, Carol? Okay, let's do the girl thing. Wait, Carol. Actually, let's get Rich. Let me get your honest opinion here.
Oh, you don't want to.
Yes, I do want to know.
Yes.
When you see a woman and you say, do you want to get to know her and her values and what she's all about? Or are you really still focused on that part?
If she's going to be potentially somebody I date, I want to know most importantly, is she a reader? Yeah, that's important.
Okay, a nerd here, folks. You know, nerdism is good. No, that's good. That's good. All right.
Sure.
All right. Well then. Here, I I'm begging to differ with Mr. Duval, and I thought that I was going to get the honest male opinion say when you.
That's a lie.
You thought you were getting the opinion you wanted to hear.
You think that's a lie? Nah.
No.
That's the truth.
No, well, you did clarify, and you said if you wanted to date her, if you said you wanted to date her. But then let's ask this question. What does the woman do, or how does she appear, or how is she standing, or how is she smelling for you to decide that the woman on the left is the one you want to date and the woman on the right is the one that you just say, and drool over? I mean, what happens there? Because I really don't think.
Who are you asking?
What?
Who are you asking the question to?
I was asking Rich.
Okay,
Rich, personally, I like a great sense of style. Like, you know, of course she has to have not a big sloppy behind, but a big nice one. And then, you know, let's see, are her clothes together? Does her shoes and bag match? Like, does she know what she's doing? Is she coordinated? Because if not, if she's just coming out of the house crazy, then her affairs are not in order. And one thing I want to say... If she just looks nuts, then she's running a shoddy operation. One thing I want to say about Mrs. Duval's book, while I have this opportunity, because I may, you know, slip into a stupor, and this is where it kills me, because chicks seem to be getting upset. You two, you and Carol, whoever that is, particularly. The key word, and I have not read the book. I'm sorry, Mr. Duval. I do read everybody's book, so I will read yours. One thing that you ladies, of course, because it's like, it's like a sound that only dogs hear, and this is like a word that only men seem to pick up on. Is he writes in the title of the book, identify. That means that it's not every woman. That means that there are women walking around in the guise of femininity that are like this, but it's not every woman. It's just how to identify, you know, a no good skeezer. That means there's some women that are amongst your ranks that are no good skeezers. But you guys missed that word entirely, and just a good man's guide to, you know, no good skeezers. It's not saying that every woman is a no good skeezer, but there are some, and this is how you identify them from amongst the rest of y'all. And now I'm back to sleep.
And that's an excellent point, and I agree with that. I don't want guys, you know, hanging out with no good skeezers. Nobody wants to be around the no good skeezers. So the title is excellent. That's wonderful. But when we go within the pages of the book, then we have these descriptions of women, the skis are women, but when Mr. Duval says things like most, you know, well, most, that word in itself, if you want to single out words, when we say most, then we start having the problem.
Well, we can have the problem, because let me tell you, most women that are skeezers don't know they're skeezers because of their constant behavior. They think it's normal. Okay.
I disagree with that one. I think most women who are skeezers know that they're skeezers.
No, let's change it. A lot
of women. What do you think, Carol?
No, I agree.
Yes, I totally agree.
Put it like this: some women are skeezers that don't know they are because of the behavior. And on the back of my book, I say that this is necessary for men to free themselves up so that they can develop a healthy relationship with a good woman. And just to put fairness in the book, I also listed in the book what I call the Players Club.
Mm-hmm.
These are the men that get the women that women complain to the most to the good men that they reject.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that Players Club list is what I call the pulpit pimp, the preacher.
No woman knows that she's a skeezer because they all can justify whatever they do.
Right.
They can say, well, this action may seem skeezerish, but I did it because. So no woman actually would allow to admit to themselves that they're a skeezer or admit to someone else that they're a skeezer, and those are the biggest skeezers.
And that's why I wrote the book to men, so they could identify and avoid.
There you go.
Because, like you say, women will not admit, most women will never
admit. They won't even acknowledge it.
That's right.
But see, now there you go with the most part again. But, Rich, now what would be skeezer?
Yes.
Say what?
51% is most.
Right. But Mr. Duval has admitted that he has not done enough tests on his own to know.
Oh,
and Dr. Zahuti, once again, hold on a minute. Dr. Zahuti, we need you to mute the phone, please, because I'm hearing whispering. I'm hearing.
That's not on my end. Sorry
that's
about
not on
that.
Your, okay, then I'm sorry. Well, who am I busting? Who am I busting?
Not I.
Okay, it's not over here. Carol, that's not you, is it?
Well, since you're calling me, I'd like to make a comment again to the issue of love, the question of love,
mm-hmm.
because I think what Mr. Duval is describing is the lack of love that exists amongst us as a people and in our intimate relationships with us as men and women. We don't really understand what love is, and so when we have a distorted understanding of love, then you have relationships based on the values of this society, which are materialistic, mm-hmm. and what can you do for me? And I have to make sure that you do more for me than I do for you because, you know, hey, that's the definition of success in this society, to consume more than you produce. So we need to get out of, you know, the mentality of this society, understand that the definition of love is to give seeking nothing in return. And if the man and the woman are doing that, then I think it sort of resolves a lot of these issues. The man does not have to worry about, you know, am I giving up my money and my time to this woman who doesn't really care for me or is only interested in my money? Because, you know, to give is to give back to himself. And the woman would be functioning on that same level. And, you know, somewhere we have lost that. And that's, I think, in a nutshell, the basis of these problems.
Dr. Zahuti always brings the wisdom to the show. The show being I'm Just Saying, where the call-in number is 646-716-4732. Throughout the entire conversation, I forgot to mention that the chat room, but it's open. And I've also it's actually a 45-minute show, so we are down to maybe about 10 more minutes. But Dr. Zahuti, now you just said something there. Again, love is to give and not expect anything in return. So now I'm going to pose that to you, Mr. Duval. and say that in what I've heard and seen in the book, particularly about the pay, we're talking about, you know, paying for dates. So you seem to be saying that you are expecting something in return. I mean, if you go out on a date and you've paid for the date, then you expect that the woman is supposed to pay for the date because you paid for the date. So how is that generating love? How is that starting out as a loving relationship?
Okay, let me explain that to you. First of all,
yes.
Let me go back to this dating thing where I modified my book for the second pretty. And I said that the guy on the first date, okay, pay. Take her to a coffee shop and have what is rarely done. Have a conversation, an open conversation about each other. All right? The importance is the time together and the talking, not where he took her, or it shouldn't be where he took her, or how much he spent. After a couple of dates, if the feeling, the flow isn't mutual, then I say dump her and move on.
Right.
Because women are very intelligent. Women know whether or not they have an attraction first to the guy. Secondly, in getting to know the guy, she'll know whether an interest has developed to get to know him more. It doesn't take no more than a couple of dates for that. Now, once you get to know the person, then you'll know whether or not there's some compatibility. But I tell guys, don't take it no further than 2 dates, and on the second date, don't spend more than $30 max, because it's about his character, not his credit card, that she should be concerned with. And all good women don't have a problem with that. See, because a woman that's good and recognizes the goodness in the man, she doesn't want to lose that. So she will not come off as the type of woman that expects him to pay his money and get what he's got. It's just that simple. That's a good one.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I mean, I appreciate what brother is saying, but I want to also add something that's sort of, you know, might be difficult for us to accept, some of us. But we attract to us in our relationships those people who are required for our development. So understand what I'm saying. If you have a proclivity to attract to you a certain kind of man or a certain kind of woman, there's a reason for that, and there is a lesson for you in that relationship. And you can't really run away from that, because until you resolve that issue in yourself, that is being brought out by your interaction with that type of person, you will always be karmically in this loop of having to deal with these types of people.
Lord knows, ain't that the truth? Oh, I'm sorry.
That is the truth.
I need to comment on that, because I've had this discussion before, if you don't mind. About this attraction.
How do you mind? We're having a conversation in the talk show.
About
I'm just
this
saying.
Attraction thing, the statement that he just made. I understand what he said, but understand this. We attract all types of people. It's who we let in. We attract good people. We attract no good people. And, yes, it's all a learning process, and that's what I'm saying. You have to learn from your past and make sure that you try as best as you can to avoid the same types. But it's like some people say, well, you know, if you're with these no-good women, that's the way you are, or that's the way a man is. Well, I disagree with that. I'm the type of person that's independent. I pay my own way in life. I'm considerate of other people, and I expect a person to be responsible for themselves, because I am. So if that was the case, then those would be the type of women that I would attract if that statement was true. So that's not a true statement, that you attract what you are. That's wrong.
No, I'm not saying that you attract necessarily what you are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that you attract people into your life, and intimate relationships probably stand out, because nowhere are we challenged probably more in our lives than in our intimate relationships,
mm-hmm.
to deal with various aspects of ourselves. So if there is something in a person with whom you're dealing, it is not really more about that person, but about what that person elicits emotionally from you that is at issue. So there's a quality or something about yourself that needs to be addressed and dealt with by these relationships, all relationships really, but particularly, again, intimate relationships. So I'm not saying that you attract someone that's just like you. That's not my point. You attract someone that is specifically addressing or pulling out an emotional issue that you yourself need to deal with.
Oh, and I deal with it. That's why I wrote the book. They pull out the fact that I don't like skeezers, okay? And so I help them. I avoid them. So I just segue to what you just said. Exactly.
I understand that. But what if my brother Duval, and I'm not suggesting that you need to be in relationship with skeezers. But
And let me just interject. We got about 5 minutes, so we got to wrap it up.
Okay, but what if the relationships that you have with women, and I don't know you, sir, so this is just a hypothetical. Cool. But what if the relationships that you have with women are calling upon you to deal with issues of sharing? That the issue you need to work out in your spirit is this issue of being able to share with another without feeling guarded as though you're being taken advantage of. Again, I'm not suggesting that you allow yourself to be taken advantage of, but if you enter a relationship feeling, you know, she ain't getting up in my money now. This is not going down like that. But what if that relationship is calling upon you to deal with issues of sharing and being open and able to share with another?
Let me answer. I have no problem with sharing. But sharing goes both ways, okay? And let me tell you this. If a person doesn't want to be with you because of what you don't give them, then that's not the right person, because people should come as complete as they can to share what they have with the other person. So, no, sharing isn't a problem. It's no reciprocation or false expectation in the beginning. That's the problem.
That is what they got cut out there?
I mean, it's the problem. I mean, don't expect anything from me but my time, because that's all I expect from you. And let's get to know each other on that basis. Like the doctor said, people are too materialistic, okay?
Yeah.
I see your point, and I think that's right. But the one thing that you said right there that is at the heart of this is that we do not come into these relationships or even into this world complete, and I heard you say as complete as possible,
right.
But it is the relationship itself that completes us. Are you following me? So once we get into these interactions with one another in these intimate relationships, it behooves us. It gives us that emotional challenge that forces us to grow and therefore become complete. So we're going to have to deal with these issues in relationships with somebody's going to have to be in relationships with some of these skeezers, because they're not going to get right. They're not going to get right by themselves.
Well, you know what? The players are the ones that get with them, because those are the ones that the skeezers choose ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
They allow the good guys in just for the ride until they get to the guy that they don't deserve. And you're right. That's some serious psychological issues that we have that we need to openly and honestly deal with. I agree with you totally.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Carla.
Well, yeah, we got 90 seconds, so you got 10 seconds to make your point.
Carla,
ahead,
just
Carol.
Two questions real quick. Dr. Duvall, can you, as quickly as possible, give me exactly your description of these two people? Number one, a good man. Number two, a good woman.
Jay, you got like about 20 seconds.
Well, I'll do it real quick. No, because that's based upon an individual's perception and what they value.
Okay.
All right. You know, like I said, it's my fault. I feel really bad here because I knew this was going to get good at the end, and I failed to extend this show longer. I do apologize. I don't know what to do except to maybe get you back again, Mr. Duvall. In the meantime, let me quickly mention you do have a blog page, which is jduvallseries.blogspot.com. I've typed it in the chat room. It's also on the home page is just saying, I'm sorry, blogtalkradio.com/I'm just saying. And or you can go to the search on Blog Talk Radio and just put in Carla G. Presents, and it'll take you to my home page. I definitely want to thank all the guests, Mr. Duval, Rich Byers, Dr. Tahuti, Carol, thank you. We've got folks in the chat room, Freedomverse Cafe, online think tank. Folks, I'm out of time. Thank you all for listening, and take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Peace.